glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship, freedom, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. Being Tuesday means it's Testimony Tuesday. What's that gum? Double fruit or double, where they used to have the juicy fruit where they'd show all those twins. We have two special guests. Yeah, double. It's a double mint Tuesday as we have two special guests, a husband and wife with us in the studio, Calvin and Marcia Dreger. And you might have heard about Calvin a time or two because he's a part of our Prime Lifetime staff. He's an account representative. And in fact, he came in yesterday and said, I got a bank to sign for the next 4 months. And you've been on a roll, actually. A dry period and then boom, boom, boom. You've gotten a number of ads the last few weeks. So that's been great. And some of you might be familiar a little bit with Marcia. She placed an ad, actually, last month and in the August edition of the Prime Lifetimes under I Matter Photography. And what event was it some years ago where you were taking photos? There was some kind of event. I think you had your camera and you were taking photographs of people, and maybe it was our grand opening here some years ago. Okay. But I Matter Photography, we'll talk a little about that. But being a Testimony Tuesday, we'll get a little of your faith journey. I know if we talk sci-fi, Calvin, you could probably the next half hour recount some of your stories. I said, hey, tell me a little about your recent book, Star Drive. And wow, you went into about 10 minutes of the details and how the planets work and what happens. And maybe we'll touch on that a little and some of your sci-fi. How many books have you written?
I've written three novels.
Three novels.
And a collection of short stories.
Okay.
And then I just finished another one on collection of short stories. So I love writing short stories, but the challenge is writing a novel. That does take a lot out of a person.
Sure, sure. I think it was a little over a month ago, you were sitting here in the studios interviewing a person about movies and their movie involvement and stuff, and I think we broke your article into three submissions or something for the Prime Lifetimes on movie reviews and some of the histories of movies in our area and such. So
I love movies, I love sci-fi, and it's entertainment, but it also, I think, teaches people too. Yeah.
Well, you and Marcia have been married 41 years, blissful years, never an argument, nothing to ever rattle the apple cart, as they say. You have two grown boys and a grandson. Oh, congratulations. Yeah. In fact, Mama Bear got out of babysitting today because I guess the grandson wasn't very well. Yeah.
We won't say what. Up.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that, those of you eating breakfast. But poor guy. But that allowed you to come in and join with Calvin. So we appreciate that. And your heart for photographing people and having them look good. And you don't just do people. You do people and their bicycles. I think you have something coming up or recently were a part of a group. How does that all work where you do special events?
We do a lot of events. One of our favorites is the bicycle group. We work with the Prairie Bicycle Club. And we kind of double team them. We take candid pictures of the riders all over, and then we actually set up a 10-foot by 10-foot backdrop stand, and that allows us to take pictures of groups or pictures of people with their bicycles, and then we have a couple of 4x6 photo printers so that for like $5 we can actually print the photos out at the event.
So somebody's tuned in and they're thinking, we have an event coming up. Boy, this might be kind of a neat collaboration or a neat service to provide to the people attending this event, so you could set something up where they could take pictures and have them right away, whatever the event is or the gathering. And I know you've sought me out before. Hey, Mark, if you have a special event where you want people to be photographed or the conversational English classes, maybe they want family portraits or something special, that's kind of what you love to do on the side, is put together a package or a variation of these could be certain photos that you'd want to keep, or whether it's a wedding or a special event or an anniversary, or just family photos. That's something that you do also?
Oh, yes. I even have a couple of pregnancy gowns. So we do pregnancy, and then we do the baby photos with the angel wings and tutus and all that.
Yeah, you have a whole setup gizmos, supplies, outfits.
The whole idea of iMatter Photography in the beginning was to be able to give good quality portraits, family portraits to lower income and seniors and, you know, people that really... Getting a family portrait isn't something that really enters their mind because it's just too expensive.
Right. So they can find out more in this month's edition and the August edition of the Prime Lifetimes under iMatter Photography. Or if they want to get in touch with you, there's an email address that they can contact you at iMatter, M-A-T-T-E-R, photography, 612@gmail.com. That's iMatter Photography, 612@gmail.com. And I've heard behind every good photographer is a sci-fi husband or a sci-fi mate, I guess you would say. That way, if the photographer is a male, then he has a female wife.
Yeah,
Kelvin, you've been doing sci-fi for a number of years. What was the launching into that?
I was always interested in journalism and writing. And, mm-hmm. I have my degree in radio television, minor in journalism. But I started actually in high school. Writing an unbelievably terrible detective story. Mm. And the only thing that stayed from that was the character. His name was Alfred Bansky. And I liked that name. And 20, 25 years later, I used him in a story about the landing in 1947, in New Mexico. The saucers and people think they're aliens had landed. So I wrote a story about that, involving this character, Alfred Bansky. But that's how I kind of got started.
Sure, sure.
And I love doing research, and that's part of my journalism background, sci-fi seems to be a way of answering if something happens, how would it affect the future? And that's kind of the basis of sci-fi.
And somebody who's tuned in that loves to read sci-fis and such, what they can stop by Google and just type in Calvin Dreger,
yeah.
Dreger, and then Calvin, Calvin,
yeah.
Calvin Dreger, and it'll take them to links to your books and such.
All my books are on Amazon.
Okay.
They're e-books, and a couple of them are soft shell books. And once you get my name in there, you can then go to the link either to Star Drive or Time Travel, Space Travel, and other phenomena, and get to the different books that I've written.
Okay, so married 41 years, and I guess about 41 or so years back, Marcia, you were a dog catcher. Is that true?
Yeah.
Where you first two met?
Yeah, I was one of two female police dog catchers with full police power, and Calvin was the news director for the local radio station.
Oh, good. You weren't arresting him or something.
No,
okay.
No. But two TV stations came down to do a human interest story on me, so he had to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I think I said to him was, "Do you want coffee?" And he says, "Sure." And I remembered, I said, "Do you take cream or sugar?" And he said, "Sure." And then I remembered that I forgot to buy it. So I said, "Well, tough, I don't have any."
Yes. And I know it wasn't love at first sight because
no.
I guess you were beating up or utilizing her trailer to get showered or cleaned up to go on other dates with other women.
Well, that was later on. But we started out as friends. Out as friends,
sure.
And, I was a news director, so I had to write the story and get back on the air and things like that. But once we started becoming friends, then it's like, well, maybe I ought to ask her out too, one thing led to another. I had a girlfriend that dumped me, so I was on a rebound. And
he complained to me about it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, 41 years later, it was a pretty good rebound.
It's good to start out as friends.
No, that's very important. It's funny. This past Sunday, Pastor Herb Coates was sharing a message, actually walking the congregation through Romans, and he shared an illustration about choosing his wife, and he said, choosing one thing means saying no to other things, and he said, so basically I said no to the 3.2 other billion women for my wife. And so it was kind of funny how, you know, when you do say yes to something, you're actually saying no to something else. And so you started out as friends.
But just think how special she is.
Right.
Out of all those.
Of the 3.2 billion other women that you could have devoted yourself to these 41 years. What a blessing he's been to you, right? Well, tell us a little about the faith journey that you were on. When you met, were you both following the Lord, attending church? Did you know about having a personal relationship with God?
Well, Marcia's been a Christian for a very long time, you know, her whole life. But I had just become a new Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I was attending SIU in Carbondale, and they had put a bus trip together for Daytona Beach, and I went on that bus trip.
SIU was known as a party school for many years.
We did party.
Yeah.
And I remember jumping in a van, had no idea who these guys were, and the guy handed me a beer and everything, and I jumped off in the middle of the intersection, right out of the van while it was moving, and walked across the street, and there were these young Christians, and they stopped me and they said, "Hey, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?"
Now, was this during the Jesus movement? This was in the 70s.
Okay. This was the Jesus movement.
Okay.
And they asked me this question. I'm like, "No, I don't think I'm going to go to heaven. No, probably not." And he said, "Well, we want to invite you." So they invited me in there, and that night I gave my life to Jesus.
Hmm.
So something good happened out of that trip to Daytona Beach.
And that wasn't something you were pursuing or thinking about?
Not at all, not at all.
Okay, so you're going down to Florida to party, to enjoy yourself.
Have a good time.
You get asked this question, and I'm thinking there's probably people tuned in now that haven't really ever wrestled with what is eternity, why am I here, what is the meaning of life. Were those the kind of things that you were pondering prior to that?
They've always been in the back of my mind.
Sure.
I mean, that's one reason I got into science fiction. I mean, what is out there? Is there life out there?
Right.
You know, the question is, if you believe in God, you have to believe in extraterrestrials, because God is not of this earth. He created the earth, you know, and angels are extraterrestrials. So if you believe in God, then you know you're not alone in this universe.
Right. How about you, Marcia? Now, Kelvin referenced that you were always a Christian, or maybe grew up in a Christian home. So was that the influence that helped lead you to a relationship with Jesus?
No, actually, my parents were generally the town drunks.
Okay.
Wherever we met. And when I was a senior in high school, the president of the senior class invited me to a Bible study meeting.
Hmm.
I was so shocked that she would even speak to me that I went.
Now, where did you grow up? What town was this?
Around Arthur, Illinois.
Okay, so.
And so I went, I became a Christian, and then my parents were so angry that I became a Christian that 3 months before I graduated, they knew I was going to be at a Bible study meeting, and we lived way out in the country. So I went to the meeting, and I walked home through two farmers' fields, and I wasn't allowed a key, so I sat on a rock to wait for them to come home. And finally, I don't know, about 2 a.m, our landlord, who had a trailer on the property, turned his light on. And so I went up and I timidly tapped on his door. And he opened the door and I said, "John, do you know where Mom and Dad are?" And he goes, "They moved."
Hmm.
And he slammed the door. And a few minutes later, he opened the door, dropped out a garbage bag, and said, "These are yours," and slammed the door again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of instant survival mode. And then I got to stay where I'd gone to the Bible study meeting. I slept in their basement until I graduated. You're 16 or 17
at this point?
And so I slept in their basement until I graduated, and then I just sort of bounced around. But what was really cool was I was living in Charleston, totally broke, and this was like 3 years later. And I came home one day, and there was a note on my door from a guy that I hadn't met that lived across the street, and he said he had something for me. So he comes over after I get home with just like 4 boxes of groceries.
Mm.
And there's a note in it from the girl that actually led me to Christ. And it said, "I was praying, and God said you needed groceries."
Hmm.
And the thing is, I don't even know how she ever found me, because I hadn't talked to her for 3 years. nobody knew where I was.
And you weren't living in the home that your parents were renting or something at the time. You were
no.
Okay, so you were kind of on your own.
I was on my own in Charleston. In the middle, I spent several years just bouncing around from place to place trying to survive.
Now, I'm thinking, how does that affect your relationship with God? Because many times we, if you will, for better or for worse, we indict God according to how our earthly fathers treated us. If they were authoritarian or drunk or inept or not home, sometimes we see God as distant or foreign or uncaring or not personal. How did you come to know the love of God, that He cared for you, and that even though circumstances weren't ideal, especially being that young on your own, if you will, discarded by your folks, how did He become the loving God that we all know about?
Well, when I was about 7, we lived in an apartment above a bar. And my parents' habit was Dad would come home at 5 o'clock on a Friday. He'd pick up my stepmother, and they'd be gone until sometime the following Sunday. And they would win things on something called a tip board at the bar. And they won this huge picture. It was bigger than I was at the time, and they shoved it behind the couch. And somehow or other, I got into the habit that whenever they would leave to go out drinking for the weekend, I would muscle this big picture out from behind the couch, and I would lean it up against the couch with the face of the guy, had no idea who he was, against the couch, and then I would curl up into a ball, and I would reach out and touch the face of this man in the picture. And there would be drunks pounding on the door in the middle of the night and stuff like that, but still I was able to sleep. And then before Mom and Dad came back on a Sunday, I would muscle it back behind the couch. It was years later that I found out that this picture was actually that picture that everyone would recognize of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so after that, even before I actually knew who He was, He's always been there.
And then when you attended that Bible study in high school and got to know other Christians and got to hear their testimonies and probably started reading the scriptures, that when God became more and more personal or more and more caring for you? And then you said, obviously, if you're on your own at that young of an age, you probably could look back and say, yes, it was hard, it was miserable, it was agonizing, but I did see Him provide, because it sounded like you jumped around a lot, so friends took you in.
And he provided. I think my favorite verse has always been Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, because it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And so even when people are telling me, "No, you don't have any reason to believe," you know, I go back to that, and I go back to remembering the picture that made me feel good and made me not afraid.
And I'm sure these 41 years married to Calvin and just seeing God provide in unique ways, because you both have had a variety of different jobs and various ways that you've seen Him provide through the years. What would be for you, Calvin, one of those benchmark events or memories where you saw God provide?
I think it's always been my faith. I put that first. You know, I take everything to the Lord. You know, I pray to God that He will see through it, and then I go forth. You know, I think that gives me that inner strength where, you know, I can do no wrong as long as I believe in God and as long as I follow Him. You know, putting God first, other people second, and yourself third. I think that has been my motive over the years.
Yeah, I think of that, footprints in the sand, you know, where many people have memorized that or talk about that, where they're like, "Lord, where were you as I'm looking at that shoreline where they see the two sets of prints where you're walking with Jesus, and then there's only one set of prints," and some would say, "He abandoned me, He left me, you know, why was I left alone?" And that's when Jesus comes back and says, "No, that's when I carried you through."
Yeah, I had to laugh when we moved to our first house in Humboldt. The lady offered to sell us the washer and dryer for $75. Well, back then, $75 was like $7,500 today. And Calvin goes, "Well, why don't you pray about it?" And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm on the spot now. So I prayed about it, and then two or three days before we were supposed to give the lady the money, and we still didn't have it, we had had an international scout, and something on it had broken down a year or two before, but it wasn't under warranty.
And that's the vehicle you were driving.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, like a day or two before we had to give this woman $75, Calvin gets a check from International Harvester for $78 because somebody, after a year or two, decided that, oh, part of that thing that broke was actually under warranty. So I handed it to Calvin and I said, see, here's $75 for the washer and dryer, and God even gave you $3 for the detergent.
First wash is on God. Oh, isn't he like that, where he provides above and beyond what we need or can imagine,
and
or
that,
whatever.
And that's faith. That is faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful verse, too, in that Hebrews chapter 11, that faith chapter, where so many of those people, what we would call the saints of old or the prophets of old or people that were following the Lord, they did many steps without seeing the results even in their lifetime. But because of the hope that was set before them, they knew that it would be accomplished someday or however God would continue to work. So isn't that like God, to work in unique, sometimes mysterious ways, but always ultimately for our best outcome, you know, knowing the future and such, which reminds me of a little of yesterday's verse on our memorization Monday, our John 14:2, the verse for the week. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And yesterday I did two different readings, the week before reading and then this week's readings on our verse, and the fact that he has laid out a destiny for us, a place for us to reside when we're in eternity with him, a house, some would say a mansion, an eternal dwelling place that we will be with him forever. And we do serve a God that cares and orchestrates events and activities and various things, even people coming into our lives to bring blessing and change and hope and healing. So thank you guys for serving this radio ministry and for your own individual talents and gifts with iMatter Photography, and Calvin, you writing sci-fi and working with the Prime Lifetimes papers and being a part of this team here. So
thank you.
Appreciate you guys coming in on Testimony Tuesday. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. If you missed a portion or you want to send it on to a friend in a link so they can hear it, thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Calvin and Marcia Dreger with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.